In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The word of God for our sermon devotion this morning is recorded in the book of the prophet Habakkuk. We read the first three verses of chapter 1 and the first four verses of chapter 2. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. And then in chapter 2, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets, so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it, it will certainly come and will not delay. See, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by his faith. This is God's word. Dearly loved by God in Christ Jesus, what is the world coming to? Each and every day, it seems like ungodliness and wickedness that opposes our God and his will grows greater in our culture. It seems as if more and more people no longer make a secret about having no interest in God or a Savior. They even have given themselves a name, who boast about having no religious affiliation or wanting one. You may have heard about them. They call themselves the Nones, N-O-N-E-S. We look around and sinful violence is on every hand, yet God does not punish that destruction and that violence. What is a Christian to think? That was the question on the mind of the prophet Habakkuk, who lived shortly before the Babylonians carried off the southern kingdom into captivity. Habakkuk's question really is timeless. It's the question, why, with all the destruction and all the violence and all the wickedness, doesn't God do something right now about it? For those of us who study and know the Bible, the increasing wickedness and destruction and violence of man as the world approaches the last day of its existence comes as no surprise. God has in the Bible revealed that that is the case and the way it's going to be. Yet, as that situation of increasing violence arises and increases, it lures us into two reactions, neither of which are, quite frankly, all that satisfying. The first solution is that I can wring my hands in frustration. The other option is that I can approve of the wickedness that's going on and offer my hands in participation. Now, if frustration and participation with evil were our only two options, that would not be good. There is, however, a third option, a most satisfying option. It is the answer that God gives to Habakkuk's questioning. And therefore, it is a good answer. It's the right answer. So God gave to Habakkuk, as he was vexed and perplexed over the situation that he saw every day in Israel, God pointed the perplexed prophet to faith. The third option for us is faith. Reliance on God. And so under that theme, we see what did Habakkuk do. Habakkuk cried out to the Lord, asking for answers. And what did the Lord do? The Lord graciously answered Habakkuk with an answer that was good and right. As you and I look at the situation in the world today, we might, to paraphrase the man in the Bible, "Lord, I believe that you know what you're doing, but help me overcome my unbelief." And that was essentially Habakkuk's expression and his prayer. Every day when the prophet walked through the streets of Jerusalem, he saw destruction, violence, and lawlessness. And that lawlessness led to brutality and loss of life. It led to the loss of property, as more and more people were just taking from others what they wanted. And the gross use of bad business practices that were cheating people out of their goods. Men were bribing rulers and judges and magistrates to gain favor and to obtain favors. Habakkuk might have been tempted not to read a newspaper, not to watch TV, or read his tweets if all of those things existed at that time, because there was nothing but seemingly bad news. And so Habakkuk cried out to the Lord, "Why do you make me look at injustice?" God's spokesman was not the only one with that question on his mind. Remember that God's prophets spoke for the people. So when Habakkuk asked God this question, he was really offering the collective question of all the faithful in Israel. It was really the group question of the believers. Why do you make us look every day at destruction and violence and lawlessness and injustice that is all around us? They had to look and wonder those questions in the midst of all this. The law is paralyzed, and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Habakkuk complained to God, "How long," he asked, "O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen?" The prophet and the people were perplexed. And so they took their perplexity to God. Understand that Habakkuk and the people were not in unbelief trying to tell God how to run the universe. They weren't trying to set themselves up on God's throne and tell God what he should do. They were rather like us. "Lord, I believe and am sure that you know what you're doing, but it sure is troubling when you don't do what I think you should be doing." How come you're not showing your glory and delivering us from all this evil? I'm just wondering, underneath my question of how long do I have to call on you and you don't help me, Lord, I believe, help me overcome my unbelief. But underneath that question is really, I'm wondering, why don't you display your power and bring this judgment down on all these unbelievers and save me? I'll suggest that the prophet's question is most relevant, isn't it? I mean, honestly, isn't that our story? Don't we get frustrated and have those same vexations? Maybe wouldn't you like to see me turn this pulpit into a place where I harangue about the wickedness of the culture surrounding us? And why doesn't God spare us from all of that? Well, that's really not what this pulpit's for. But rather, we can go to God and underneath those questions, ask Him, why don't you show your power? Why don't you show your majesty at this current time? And what we're really saying is, Lord, this quilt that is our life, we don't see the threads and the knots that are underneath it. And that really is the answer to Habakkuk's question. You and I live in the quilt of this life that God gives His church in the midst of all the violence and destruction and injustice and lawlessness of unbelievers around us. And when we think about it, that quilt of our lives is a beautiful thing that God gives us. But we don't always see how it's tied together. We don't always see those threads that are tied and knotted underneath that only God can see and that God has done and weaved to put our lives together. So what to do? Well, we mount the ramparts with Habakkuk. I will look to see what he says to me. The prophet trusted that in spite of the weakness of his faith, in spite of his brashness and daring to approach God and suggest that maybe God could explain himself, Habakkuk trusted, as a prophet, that God would answer him, that God would give him the answer. And God did. God gave the answer to that perplexed prophet by giving him the watchword of the church. And that watchword is this: the righteous will live by faith. God answered Habakkuk, "See, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by his faith." God makes a comparison. He compares the man who thinks he's got all the answers. He thinks he knows it all. He thinks he doesn't need God with the believer. The unbeliever is puffed up. His desires are not upright because he desires only what he thinks he can accomplish by his own powers. But the righteous will live by his faith. The believer hears God's revelation and believes it and trusts it. We wait for it to appear in its right time. The believer awaits that revelation and knows as it waits its appointed time. For example, for us, that would be like the revelation that Jesus Christ is going to come again and judge the world. Now that may seem slow in coming. It may seem to us to be delayed when we look at the world around us. But we live by faith. And so we trust the Lord that in His appointed time, the Lord Jesus will return and all evil will be ended and we will finally be taken all safely and securely into heaven. God pointed the perplexed prophet and us to faith. The watchword of the Christian church, and thinking of the Reformation coming up very soon, the righteous will live by faith. The Apostle Paul quoted Habakkuk in Romans. And Martin Luther, when he was studying the scripture, when he came upon this passage in Romans and read that the righteous will live by faith, the Holy Spirit opened Luther's heart to see Jesus Christ as his Savior. Luther said and wrote that when I read those words, it was as if the gates of paradise had been thrown wide open. Because Luther came to realize that spiritual life, new life in Christ, that is, deliverance from death and the devil, does not come by my works. It does not come by my own desires, but it comes through faith, as the Holy Spirit works that faith in our hearts through the gospel. And then Luther had a whole different view of good works, of the things that he was trying to do for God. The righteous live by faith. We have new life by faith. And we now live that new life by faith. So in other words, the good works that we do in faith, we don't do to earn heaven. We don't do to find favor with God or to get on God's good side. But we do them as fruits of faith. So the works of love were not added to faith to save us. But Luther saw that the works of love were now done as fruits of faith that flowed from that faith to give glory to God. Luther came to realize, and as his namesake, we realize that believers live in faith through Christ's righteousness. And we live by faith in that righteousness, in the good works that we do, in the faith that we have that combines those two things together. Our righteousness of Christ through faith and our righteous lives in faith for Christ. And in that faith, we trust in God's providence. We trust in God's final deliverance. And so we're enabled to hear His revelation and believe it and wait for its appointed time. Think of maybe about it this way. If you've ever gone to a concert or a play, would maybe be a better example, and for whatever reason, the play's delayed, the curtain's closed, the crowd's waiting, and when they think the play should start and it doesn't, what happens? Well, they grow restless and they begin to murmur, maybe even complain about the people putting on the play. But where does all that murmuring, where does all that complaining get them? Does it open the curtain any more quickly? No. When does the curtain open? When the people who are putting on the play open it. Well, that's the way God works in our lives. We can maybe get impatient and begin to murmur and complain because God isn't, and that's what Revelation means, to pull back the curtain. God isn't pulling back the curtain and showing us what He's doing for us. Hasn't shown us what He has promised us quite yet. But in our faith, as we live by faith, as we sang in our hymn, we live in patience and perseverance as we await the revelation. We live by faith because we are righteous through faith. This is really the watchword of Orthodox Lutheranism and of biblical Christianity. We don't have righteousness by works, but by faith. We don't do works to be righteous, but we do works from righteousness. Habakkuk closes by saying several things about God's revelation. He gives it to heralds to proclaim, and they proclaim it. That revelation is true, and in the Lord's time, it will be fulfilled, and it will not prove false. And God's sure promises, as we sang in the hymn, are the foundation and the basis of our patience and of our acceptance of our having to look at the evil and wickedness around us. How much longer will we have to walk the streets of our societies and see devastation and destruction? How much longer will lawlessness continue on the earth? Will it get any better? Or will it get any worse? We really don't know the answers to those questions. But what we can do is mount the ramparts. What we can do is keep in prayer, calling out to the Lord for help, knowing that He is listening to us and that He promises to hear us, and to be patient and to put our trust in His Word. In the meantime, to live this way, the righteous will live by faith. This is the watchword of the church and the watchword of our life that God gave to the perplexed prophet and gives to us, the perplexed people of God. Amen.